Today, you know, we've been talking about a lot of women. Have you been getting a lot from these girls? Yes. I mean, these girls in the Bible, I love that God loved the women so much that he wrote their names down, and then he told their story. And so I believe that we have a really cool lady that I want to talk about today. But the neat thing about this woman is I have to talk about her husband as well. You say, oh, no, we're not supposed to talk about men in the girlfriend's AM, you know. But listen, this was a husband-wife tag team. They were a beautiful picture of marriage. Their names are Aquila and Priscilla. You go, which one is the girl? The girl is Priscilla. And Aquila is the man. I mean, I've read that for many times when I was younger. I was like, what? They both sound like girly names. So Aquila and Priscilla, we're going to talk about Aquila and Priscilla. What if I told you today that you were going to be a world changer when you walked out of here? That you were going to have some tools that you could put in your faith notch, that you can write down and you can begin to put into practice right away. And that if you put them into practice right away, you would begin to see the move of the Holy Spirit in your life, in your homes, in your families, in your finances. Would that be something you want? Well, Priscilla has already lived that life for us, and she's going to teach us some tools that we can get in to and that we can walk in as women of God and become these kingdom builders as God has asked us to do. So let's go there. We meet Priscilla in Acts. So if you would turn with me to Acts 18, 1 through 4. I'm going to be reading out of the Living Bible. And it says, Acts 18, 1 through 4 says, then Paul left Athens and he went to Corinth. There became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila, born of Pontus, and recently arrived from Italy with his wife Priscilla. They had been expelled from Italy as a result of Claudius Caesar's order to depart all the Jews from Rome. Paul lived and worked with them, for they were tent makers just as he was. Each Sabbath, Paul was at the synagogue trying to convince the Jews alike. Now let me set this up for you, okay? You've got Aquila and Priscilla, and they have come from Rome. They are now in a foreign land. The only trade that these two know is tent making. Now back then, tent making was a big deal. It'd be like building your house now. And so they were tent makers, and that was a pretty intricate job. It was a pretty needed job. And so they started building tents and making tents. Here comes Paul along the way. Now, Paul has had a revelation from God. He knows his purpose now. He's got to tell people about Jesus. The Greeks and the Jews do not have the same theologies, the same thoughts on thinking about the Word of God. And here he is trying to join them together and get them on the same path and same way about Jesus. Now, Aquila and Priscilla, where do they come in? Where does Priscilla come in? The cool thing about Aquila and Priscilla is they are mentioned about 7 times in the Bible, throughout the Bible. So they're not just in one spot. They were part of Paul's life all the way to the end, which tells me that these are loyal people, trustworthy people, people that Paul could trust, people that God could trust, and people that had great capacity for goodness, okay? So here they are. They're throughout the Bible 7 times, and the coolest part of it, do you want to hear what it is? Priscilla's name was mentioned first most of the time. Now, if you don't understand that, nowadays we go, well, yeah, I run my household, you know, like. But listen, back then, it was men and then the women were underneath. It was, the women did not run nothing. But they were such a tag team that Aquila was totally cool with Priscilla. When she spoke, when she moved, she had respect and honor from the people around her. And here's Aquila and Priscilla. They just tag-teamed this thing. And she was actually the one that is mentioned so much in the Word of God because she had influence, she had respect, she had greatness, and she had increased capacity. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been praying for increased capacity. Do you know what that entails? A whole lot of hell. You go, what? Really? Yeah, because in order to have increased capacity, God has to change some things about you. He has to say, all right, you want to increase the capacity. This personality in you needs to change for the kingdom side of things, and non-kingdom side of things have to go. You see, if you want increased capacity, then you need to change the way that your thinking is. That stinking thinking has to go, and you have to start getting into faith. You see, Aquila and Priscilla really had to be in faith in their walk with Christ. They had to run out of Rome. They had to find a new place. They had to set up their tent-making business. That was a big deal in itself. But then here comes Paul, some stranger, some guy they don't know. But the cool thing about Paul is, see, I think God has divine appointments because Paul was also a tent maker. Paul also, that was his trade. He also knew what he was doing. And so when they all connected and they all met each other, they had in common Jesus. And then they had in common the tip making. And then they had in common a good business that they can make some money to support the ministry. Do you see how this all works out? You see, God sets everything up for his purpose and his destiny. And Priscilla was a woman that was great. She was a woman that lived a wonderful life. She was a woman who had hard work embedded into her, and she carried out a trade. Maybe some of you are business owners. Maybe some of you have dreams in your heart, and you're going, I just don't know where to begin. Listen, God, put that dream in your heart. How about you start listening to the Holy Spirit and begin to take the first step into what it is God maybe put and birthed inside of you? Because those things aren't just there for no reason. They're there for the purpose of the kingdom. Priscilla was a church leader. Priscilla and Aquila ended up starting the first church in their home. They welcomed strangers in and told them about Jesus, and they started churches. Later on, they started many churches. So they were like church leaders to the extreme, okay? And Paul trusted them enough that he left and left all of that under them. So that tells me that when you tell me women can't be in ministry, Priscilla rocked it, and Priscilla was the one teaching and preaching and telling people where Jesus is and telling them about Jesus and setting up churches, because you know what, we're homemakers, right? And this is the house of God, right? See, God has a place for women in the house of God. God has a purpose for you in the house of God. Your giftings and your talents and your strengths are all needed in God's kingdom. And so Priscilla was able to take those things that God had given her, linked up with her incredible husband who was just right along with her, and they did life together. They did marriage together, and they were willing to be hospitable and loving to people around them. So today, what is God trying to teach us from Priscilla? Number one, God is teaching us and wants us to learn to work on being trustworthy. You see, an untrustworthy person doesn't know much about you, right? Because you don't trust them. So you're not going to give them too much information. You're not going to trust them with your life. You're not going to say things to them on purpose because you're like, oh, I don't trust them. I don't know where that's going to go once that comes out of my mouth to them. Or maybe you don't trust, maybe, you know, they're yes people. I call them yes men. Those yes men sometimes don't follow through on their yeses. You know, God says that let your yes be yes and your no be no. Do not promise things you cannot carry out. And so here's Priscilla, and she's a trustworthy woman. Paul came and she brought him into her home and he taught her. Now it says that Paul was in the synagogues trying to get the Jews and the Greeks to, you know, talk and go over things on the Sabbath. Guess who was with him? Aquila and Priscilla. They were under him. They were learning. They were gleaning everything. And having Paul in their home, Paul is teaching them the ins and the outs of Jesus, the ins and outs of the kingdom of God, the ins and the outs of what it is that God has for the Jewish people and for people all alike, the Gentiles. You see, these were people, foreigners, unlikely that God would use them, but God saw, oh no, look at her, she's trustworthy. I could bring Paul into her world and she'll just accept him in, and he can say things and she could be trusted. You see, I want to be a trustworthy person. I want God to say, yes, I can count on her. Yes, I can tell her something and she'll do it. Yes, I can give her an assignment and she'll make sure it gets done. In Luke 19:17, it says, well done, he said, you are a good servant. And since you were faithful in the small matters, I will put you in charge of 10 cities. You see, so many times you look at someone else's life. We can look at other people's lives and go, oh, they have the best family and they have the best kids and they have the best homes and look at the cars they drive. And you could look at the material things and you could just think they've got it all together. And sometimes they do, especially if they're Christians. Because you see, they were counted trustworthy with God. That God could give them more and they could handle it. That God gives you more and then you can handle it. You know, we've been going through the Blessed Life series. And I loved when they talked about the parable of the talents. You know, if you give a talent to one, to another, and to another, and then the one burns it away, what do? You don't give him any more, right? You take his and give it to somebody else who's going to increase it. It's the same thing in the kingdom of God. It works opposite than the world. You go, I don't understand that. It's because, you see, the kingdom business does not operate the world the way the world's business does. God's kingdom operates in a different realm, in a different way, and it's usually opposite of what we're taught in school, what it is that the world says is supposed to be the way it is. You see, God loves a trustworthy person. It says that he's looking and seeking whom he may use. I don't know about you, but Priscilla, she had that magnifying glass on her. She was trustworthy. God said, ooh, I know this woman loves me. She's going to tell people about me. She's going to welcome them into their home. She's going to take care of the needy. Because Paul was needy at that time. He needed a place to be. He needed food to eat. He was a prisoner in cuffs. She took him in and took care of him. You see, that's a trustworthy person. 2 Timothy 4:19. Please say hello for me to Priscilla and Aquila and those living at the home of Onesiphorus. Okay, these words are crazy. And I brought this verse up because this is the end of Paul's life. This is when he is writing a letter, and the one person that he wants to talk to is Aquila and Priscilla. That tells me they're close. That tells me they're friends. That tells me that at the end of Paul's life, through everything this man had been through, shipwreck, snake bitten, everything, the persecution was extreme. He says, please tell Aquila and Priscilla that I love them. Goodbye. You see, there was a relationship there. Paul sent time after time again, sent people to their house because he knew they would be taken care of. Have you ever, done something? Maybe you work at a job, or maybe you have a family member in another state, and you say, you know what? Oh, you're going to that state? Why don't you look up my family member? They'll totally hook you up and take care of you when you get there. Some of you are going, oh, no, I would never do that. Because that family member is so not trustworthy, and I do not know what they will say or do or act or if they will treat them right, right? Not Paul. Paul is in other places, in other realms, in other places. And he says, oh, if you're there, go see Aquila and Priscilla. They have many churches. I trust them. They'll take you in. They'll love on you. They'll teach you the word of God. You'll be safe in their home. You see, they were trustworthy all the way to the end of Paul's life. The last people he wanted to encounter was Aquila and Priscilla. Their names are mentioned but lightly, but their testimony was so powerful. There's a story of a young lady, and she was soaking in the sun in the rays in Florida on the beach. When a little boy with his swimming trunks on crawled to her towel as she was laying there, came up and asked her, do you believe in God? And she was surprised at this question. She replied, yes, I do. Then he asked her, do you go to church on Sunday? And she said again, she answered, yes, I do. Do you read your Bible and pray every day? And again, she said, yes, I do. And by then, her curiosity was much aroused. The little boy sighed with relief and he said, well, will you hold my quarter while I go swimming? You see, the love of God brings another level of trust. When people hear that we're Christians, when people see that we serve God, when people hear that you go to church or that maybe you're reading, you see, you are a walking testimony of trust. If they can't trust you and what you say and do is opposite of your actions and your words, that little boy would not have left his quarter with that lady, but he trusted her because, well, she loves God. She goes to church and reads and prays him. The sad part is that is not really the reality of our church any longer. But girls, why can't we get back there? Why can't we put ourselves in check enough to where we say, you know what, God, I love you so much. And I want you to count me trustworthy. I want you to count me honorable. Lord, I want you to see me in a way that you can look down from heaven and go, oh, she's got my back. I can give her an assignment. She's going to carry that out. If I put her across so-and-so's path, they're going to know my love. You see, every day is an opportunity to show God that we're trustworthy. Every day is an opportunity to show God that he is special, and we love him, and we honor him, and we cherish him with our lives, with our words, and with our accountability. See, girls, God wants us to work on being a trustworthy woman of God. Number two, God wants us to work on being welcoming to others. You go, oh man, I am an introvert. I like my alone time. I like my precious little moments by myself. Some of you are introverts. Listen, I am not an introvert. I love people. I get energized by people. Okay, I have friends that are like exhausted after being with people. They like have to go be in a dark room for like days. It's just how we're built. But the reality of it is neither one is wrong, and neither one is an excuse for us not to be hospitable to others. So maybe it doesn't come natural to you, and maybe you're not just that person that has all the time in the world to be like generous to everyone. There was a girl that was a part of our church for a long time, and I'm not kidding, man, she was like Mrs. Personality. Like everyone loved her, and she just got around. Every time she would just be at every party and do everything for the church, and I would sat there and I'd be like, I am horrible. Like, how does she do this? And then somebody told me, well, she doesn't work. Oh, okay. That helps. So what is your capacity? You see, do what you can do. Don't beat yourself up for what you can't do, but do what it is that is in your hand. Can you show someone some love? Maybe you know that they're new to the area and they don't have any friends. Invite them over. Maybe you have a new neighbor in your block. Go make them some cookies and tell them Jesus loves them and just let them know that you're there. Because listen, when hell breaks loose, guess who they'll be knocking on? And that'll be your opportunity to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You'll get to pray with them. They'll trust you with things that maybe they couldn't trust someone else with. You see, we have to make efforts to be generous. You have to make efforts to welcome people in your home. It is extra work. It's exhausting. But listen, the reward afterwards is great because then you've connected on a level that God needs you to connect. You need people as much as they need you. You need each other. Did you know that? Did you know you guys need each other? So here's Aquila and Priscilla. They welcome Paul into their home. They didn't just welcome Paul into their home. He lived with them. So they're new to the area, and now they got a straggler living with them. I don't know if I'd be that generous. I like my space, you know, I don't know. My brother has someone living with him, and I'm like, you need to kick his butt out. I tell him every day, kick him out, kick him out. Is he paying rent? Kick him out. Luke says he's getting kicked out. So James, if you're listening, you get kicked out. No, I'm just kidding. He's like a brother to us, okay? He's like family. He's been there forever. And do not enable people. Being welcoming to someone is one thing, but enabling someone is another. God has never asked us to enable people. He's asked us to bless people. Welcome them into your home, love on them, and send them out. Send them back home to their home and their family. You got someone coming to you, always constantly complaining about their husband, and they just want to come and throw up on you over and over and over again. That's not what I'm talking about. Minister to them. If they don't listen to what it is you're saying about the Word of God and lining up with what it is, take your time and say, listen, you haven't listened to anything I've said in the past month. You haven't done one thing that I've told you to do, and so I don't know if I can help you any longer. But when you want to do it God's way, then we can talk. But if you don't want to do it God's way, then I'm going to have to separate myself. See, you have to guard yourself as well. You are not a doormat for people to just take advantage of. But you are hospitable and loving where people can feel welcome. So make sure they don't overstay their welcome. There's a verse in Proverbs that says that too much of a friend, how does that verse go? Too much of a friend, if you're at your neighbor's house too much. Yeah. So like if you're always at your neighbor's house, stay home for a couple days. They probably would appreciate it. They want to walk around in their underwear too, okay? So I'm kidding. I'm just being cheesy now, okay? I've been married to like the cheese king of my whole life, and I am like totally becoming him. All right. So just don't overstay your welcome, but open your home up, open your hearts up, be willing to be generous with your time. That means, maybe like your Friday night that you always do with like the people you like, maybe invite someone else that maybe you don't know so well. Start opening up your home maybe on special holidays like a Thanksgiving when you know that there's certain people that just don't have anywhere to go. But they could come and they could be a part of your family and see the goodness and the love of God and have a good meal. That will speak volumes, more so than you just wallowing or you living in your life, or maybe you're alone. Maybe you're the one that's the loner. Listen, the Word of God says that you had to be a friend to make a friend. That means you got to get out there and you got to connect and start meeting people. And when people hear your story, they're going to love you because you're awesome. And so they're going to start wanting to link up with you and asking you to do things. And you see, God has your back. He has my back. He has Lori's back. He has everybody's back in here. He wants us to connect with each other. That means we have to be hospitable. We have to be generous. We have to be willing to do what it is God's asked us to do. You have to get out of your comfort zone and get out of your routine for the kingdom of God. Okay? Because Aquila and Priscilla, she constantly had people knocking on her door when she did not expect it. And she had to bring them in because Paul is sending people to her left and right. And she's going, all right, God, all right, God. And every time she did, do you know what happened? God said, ooh, she's trustworthy. I can give her more. I can give her more. I can give her more. And then she started this church here and started another church on the other side of town and started another church. And then she brought up people and she helped nurture men and women of God. And they began to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, all because she was trustworthy and she was a welcoming person. She was hospitable. God is good, and he wants us as women to be hospitable towards each other. It says, the churches of Asia in 1 Corinthians 16, 19. The churches of Asia greet you, Aquila and Priscilla, greet you heartily in the Lord. With the church that is in their house, all brethren greet you, greet one another with a holy kiss. You see, there was a lot of love going on there. There was a lot of love happening in Aquila and Priscilla's house. It was a safe place and it was a refuge. Let your homes be a safe place and a refuge. Let your hearts be a safe place and a refuge for people that are hurting, for people that are not hurting, for just the love of Jesus to come across and just to, you know, help someone out, or maybe just to be a friend. What a concept. Just be a friend. Get outside of yourself. Turn the TV off and call someone and just say, I was thinking about you today. How you doing? You see, be welcoming, be generous, be thoughtful. In Galatians 3:28 says, there is now no distinction, neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus Christ was so welcoming to us that he said, all come. All you that are heavy laden, come. And I will bring you wells. I will give you drink when you are thirsty. You see, Jesus opened his world up to us. He didn't hide anything. He didn't have to go into his little closet and hide from people. He was the one that went after the one, you know, the lost sheep. He went after them. He was the one that saw the tax collector up in the tree. He was the one that went and sat at the sinner's table. He was the one who loved people to life. And he's asking us, because I did it for you, can you do it for me, ladies? Be welcoming. Show the love of God. God welcomes us all in. We need to do the same. There's a saying that says, the fragrance always stays in the hand of the one that gives the rose. Be a rose giver, and you'll reap the benefit of the beautiful fragrance of the presence of God in your home, in your lives, and you watch blessing fall on you. What God wants us to learn, he wants us to be trustworthy. He wants us to be welcoming as women of God. Number three, he wants us to earn respect from others. Now, did you hear what I said, earn? You see, respect can't be demanded. It has to be earned. They will know you by your fruits, the Word of God says. That means the words of your mouth and your actions have to line up. That means you really got to watch what you're doing, and not because you live under the conviction, but because you love God so much, you say, no, I want to be a beautiful walking vessel for the kingdom of God. I want people to say, yes, I respect her, because when she says something, it happens. When she does something, it gets done. Her yes is yes, her no is no. Her command is word, and she knows what she's doing, and I can trust and follow her ways. Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah, you know, they're funny people. If you don't know how they work around here, we all have a plan, and they like to change it last minute. That's how it goes. So the staff runs around with our heads cut off like, ah, yes, we'll do it. You know, like freaking out. So the coolest part of this is, though, I have learned that when my dad says, no, we're changing this, or this needs to be done, I don't even question it. And you want to know why? Because I know he hears from God. Because time and time again, it's always worked out. Time and time again, it's always made that plan. It's always been righteous before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Time and time again, when he says something, it's almost like God's blessing just jumps on top of it and then it takes off. And I've always wanted to be on that ride, you know? Who is it you respect in your life? And what are the qualities about them that you admire? You see, think about that for a second and say, I want someone to feel that way about me one day. So if they respect me, then they'll hear me. You see, if you're respected, then when you speak the word of God, you'll be heard. When you speak the word of God, they'll trust you with their life. They'll trust you with their issues. They'll trust you with whatever it is that they're going through, whether it's good or bad. You will be a trusted, worthy woman of the Most High God, just as Priscilla was. You see, I don't want God to say, well, you know, I don't want her to be respected, and so then she can't lead. I have to constantly keep myself in check. Constantly. Constantly. Oh, I'm sorry, God, for that. Oh, God, I'm sorry for that. Oh, Lord, help change me here. This is a constant movement of being this amazing woman of God. And if I have to do it, listen, he ain't a respecter of persons. He needs you to do it too. We are all in this together. And God has something for each and every one of you in a platform, whether it be your family, your workplace, wherever it is you go, you are going to be respected and then you will be heard. And see, Priscilla was respected. There was a man, if you go with me in Acts 18, 26, there was a man that came from Egypt. It says, while he was in Egypt, someone had told him about John the Baptist and what John had said about Jesus. So he had heard about Jesus, this man, okay? But that was all he knew. He only knew what John said. And he had not heard the rest of the story. So he was preaching boldly and enthusiastically in the synagogue. So he came to Aquila and Priscilla's area. He was in their world. So they're in the synagogue. Sorry, my necklace came off. So they were in the synagogue, and they were connecting, and this man starts preaching in the synagogue. And they're going, it's good, yeah, what he's saying is right, but he doesn't know the whole story. You see, these were wise people. They had been trained and taught about Jesus. So this is the next thing they did. Did they get on him? Did Aquila and Priscilla, you know what, you shouldn't be talking because you don't know the whole story, and you need to sit down and be quiet? No. They did it with love. They let him preach. Priscilla and Aquila were there and heard him. And it was a powerful sermon. Afterwards, they met with him and explained what had happened to Jesus since the time of John and all that it meant. All they did was sit down and have a one-on-one with this guy and say, oh yeah, what you were preaching was good, but there's more to this story. And he heard what they said, and he was blessed, and he was ministered to. He didn't walk out of there hating himself. He didn't walk out of there beating himself up. He walked out of there going, man, I got more from today than I ever could have gotten. Do you want to walk into the presence of people, and they go, man, I get more from her when I am with her, and we've talked about God, than when I leave? You see, you girls are on fire for the kingdom of God. You girls have the ability that when you walk into a room, there's a respect, and that when you speak the name of Jesus, when you speak the word of God, it will be like a lighting a fire inside of people. And they'll walk away like, woo, man, I'm ready to go. Man, I got this. Man, I'm rejuvenated. You know, Pastor Jim says, you will only go as far as you're encouraged. You guys are full-time encouragers to other people. And so be respected. They were so respected that he heard them, and he didn't even know them, but he respected the words they spoke. Exodus 33:8 says that when Moses went out into the tent of meeting, all the people arose and stood every man at his door and looked after Moses until he had gone into the tent. There was a respect for Moses. Moses had paid a price for the people of Israel. Moses had led them out of hell. So they respected him. They stood in reverence and honor of him. When I went to Rhema Bible Training Center, I will never forget, Brother Hagen was still there. We were the last class to have him before he passed away. And he even told us how he was going to die, and literally he died that way. And this was quite a man of God. And I remember sitting there, and we're standing there. You know, these how many of us were there? It was Pastor Joey, James, who's still living with Luke, and me. I was the only girl. Can you believe that? The only girl, all these like totally young guys. And I was pretty much mama bear. And we're all sitting in the row, and everybody stands up. And we're like, oh, okay, why are we standing? What are we doing? You know, because in California, we're so laid back. We don't understand respect and honor. You know, it's like, let me wear my flip-flops and let me do whatever I want to do. They were like, Brother Hagin's walking in the room. You better stand up out of honor. And I was like, okay, what does that even mean? You know, like, and so he would just come, okay, everybody sit down, and then he would begin to preach. Every time the man walked into a room, everybody would stop and stand out of honor and respect for him. Because he paid a price, because he was respected, because when he prophesied, it always happened. because he had casted demons out of these people and they were free, because he had saw tumors fall off their body when he prayed. I mean, if you don't know who Brother Hagin is, go get some of his books and learn about the things that happened in his world. He lived in a whole completely different realm, let me just tell you, a realm we don't quite understand. When we get to heaven, we will understand it. And as I stood there, this, you know, young adult, just newly married girl was like, why do we need a stand? This is like, what, it's like we're worshiping man. We don't worship man, we worship God. I mean, I was just really, really like irritated about the whole thing. And the Lord had to minister to my heart and say, no, 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 that is a respect and an honor. And if you can't respect and honor the man of God, you will never respect and honor me. And boy, did he check my heart. And I was like, yes, sir. And I, as I stood up every time and I listened to him speak, I knew that the Spirit of God was speaking. I knew that God was doing something. And I began to not worship him as a person, but I began to listen and hear the voice of God through him as a man. And God spoke to me so much through Brother Hagin. And you know what? It's not Brother Hagin. If it's not Brother Hagin, it's someone else. But these people stood in the presence of Moses because Moses spoke into their lives. Because Moses was a man that carried them out of hell and brought them into freedom. You see, it wasn't Moses that did that, though. It was Moses who was answering the call of God on his life and doing what God asked him to do, right? So God can do the same with us for others. You see, God has something for us, but it's our time to earn the respect of the people around us. So ladies, earn it. Do not demand it. You can't tell someone to respect you. They will really not respect you if that happens, okay? I actually have had a leader, I had recently a leader who was telling people, you need to respect me, this is my authority, this is what's been given, and I'm like, whoa, 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 shh, like, stop, you're damaging yourself right now, you could never do that, just take your time, be who you are, let them trust you, it will take time, respect takes time, okay, because people are watching your life. Okay? You say, well, my life is screwed up. Well, listen, one step at a time, take your time, get yourself right. Don't you worry about it. Because you know what? If they know you now as screwed up, when you become this amazing person later on down the road, they're going to love your journey. And they're going to want to serve God because then they know God will do it for them just like he did it for you. Your life is a testimony. And that in itself will be respected. Number four, God wants us to be hard workers in ministry and in our workplace. Hard workers. We had to get our hands dirty. We had to turn the TV off. We had to get off the social media. We had to quit playing all the time because we like to play in our society because we're filling a void of some kind. Now, I'm not saying a vacation is filling a void. I'm not saying that. I think everybody needs a break. But if you're constantly always, 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 and you just really never face reality, like, okay, I have bills to pay. I have family members I have to build a relationship with. I have things that have to get put in order in my home. And you're avoiding those things. That's not hard working. God can't bless that. You see, God wants to bless what it is we work hard for. Dr. V is sitting on the front row, and she's a doctor. And not only is she a doctor, she's a reverend. And she's an author. And she's a mother of five, right? Five. And she is a hero in my kingdom. I'm like, Dr. V, you're amazing. How do you do it? She worked hard, though. She worked hard in school. She made sure she kept her focus. She did what she needed to do to become the doctor that she needed to be. Then she worked hard as a mom. Let me tell you, boy, is mom the hardest job in the whole world? It is the hardest job in the whole world. Being a doctor is easier than being a mom. Am I right? Yes, she says true. And you know what? Being a mom is a hard job. It's not a fun job. There's no glory in it. Okay, so you got to clean those dirty underwear. You know, Titus, my son, I don't know what his deal is, but the streaks are happening. And I'm finding them around the house. And I'm like, seriously, what is going on? Because I taught him the right way. Okay, now we live in this old house now. We have to use this new toilet paper. Okay, here I am talking about the bathroom. I'm just like Pastor Jim. And it's gross. But I cannot keep up on the laundry anymore because it's just like a constant, always, never-ending process. And now that is like an extra process for me. You see, it never ends. There's always someone complaining. There's always someone knocking on your door. As a mom, there's always a need. Do you notice that? I mean, I did tell my children today, go away. I just at least need to get my clothes on. Go away. Because, Mom, I don't have anything to wear. This is my daughter, Chloe. Well, why don't you have anything to wear? Because nothing fits. Well, I just bought you some clothes. I know they don't fit either. Okay, seriously, we didn't talk about eating. Because, like, those clothes should be fitting you. You see, it's constant. Okay, what's going on in their world? What are we doing? You guys are the one that keep the pace of the home, and you're the hard workers. You're the ones that get your hands dirty. You're the ones that knows when things happen before they happen. Do you notice that? How did you know that was going to happen? Well, I don't know. They call it mother's intuition. I think it's the Holy Spirit tapping into us and going, hey, listen, this is going to happen. You better be on it. You see, that's a big job in itself. Those children in your home and those grandchildren, some of you raising your grandchildren, you are amazing. Let me just give you a hand because you are awesome. Raising those grandbabies are not easy, especially when you're older. Because I am in my 30s and I'm exhausted. So just give yourself a pat on the back and say, yes, I got this. But listen, God has our back and he rewards hard work and he blesses everything we put our hand to. So you may feel like, are the kids listening to me? Are they hearing me? Are things getting done? I don't even know if they're getting done. You know what God says? It's okay. It's okay. Because if you're working hard, I'm going to bless it all. And those kids are going to remember having clean underwear. Mama loved them. And those kids are going to remember that when you told them not to do that, and they're in the middle of hell, they're going to go back to the words you said, and they're going to run straight out of hell, and they're going to run towards me because you prayed for them. You see, a praying mama is very different than a person that does not have a praying mama. That's hard work to pray for your kid all the time, especially when you're mad at them. But you know what? You've never been called not to pray for them. You've never been called not to believe the best for them. You've never been asked to bring these children into the world and just leave them on their own. No, you bring them into this world and you begin to speak heaven over them. You begin to speak hell out of their lives and you begin to line up a prayer and a path of righteousness and greatness and blessing in their life. You watch them. They will eventually get back on that track. They will eventually find their way. And it will all be because they had a praying mom. There's about four men that I know of that their lives have gone downhill. I mean, downhill. To the point where you go, oh my gosh, how could this happen? Some of it's drug abuse, some of it's alcohol, some of it's just sin, just rampant sin, and they allowed it in their lives. And there's one out of all these four men that has a praying mama. And this one I see changing. This one I see not doing what the others are doing and not going where the others are going. And there's this one that is slowly getting their step back and their glide back. And there's this one that has just a kindness about them that the others don't have. And we were talking about it the other day, Dan and I, and he goes, it's because he has a praying mama. Because his mom is praying and believing the impossible. You see, your prayers are powerful in the kingdom of God. That's hard work, girls. Don't discredit your hard work. Don't discredit your prayers. Don't discredit, you know, paying the price and believing God for those things that maybe you're just frustrated and you don't want to pray anymore and you're irritated. You're not seeing the results. God says, no, 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 no. Don't give up. Keep working hard. Keep coming to the throne. Keep teaching them the ways of God. Keep being a blessing. Work hard. And work hard for the house of God. Those that are in the house of God will flourish. That's what the word of God says. You wonder why some of, you know, the other volunteers around here are blessed. I'll tell you why. Because they're in the house of God and they love the house of God and they're blessed because they volunteer here. You're blessed when you volunteer. There's a covering of blessing over the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. And you get to be a part of it and you get to be under it, just as I do too. It's a blessing. I heard it said that there was this like leaders meeting. It was like a whole bunch of youth pastors. And there was this youth pastor, and there was a question and answer time, and they were like, you know, have you ever, like, been mad at your senior pastor, and what do you do, you know, do you leave, or whatever? And he goes, well, I loved his answer. He goes, it's so funny how you end up just loving yourself. You think you're so good at preaching, and you think you're so good at this, think you're so good at building a church because your youth group has grown, and the grass is always greener on the other side. And he goes, and then you go out on your own, and all of a sudden you fail, and you're not good. It's not blessed. It's not anointed. Because you were in the soil of that anointing. And you ripped yourself out of that soil. And you put yourself in hard ground. And it's like, do not be boastful about what it is God is doing in your life. Because it's all given to you by God. And everything you have, and everything you do, and everything you put your hand to, and everything that has been given to you is given to you by God. And when you stop doing the hard work, and when you stop being trustworthy, and when you stop being not respected, then God says, oh, you're removing yourself from that good ground. That ground that's nourished, that ground that's blessed, that ground that's anointed. And you see, God wants you blessed. You work in the house of God, you will flourish. That's what God's word says. Proverbs 14:23, it says, hard work always pays off. Mere talk puts no bread on the table. No bread on the table. I don't know about you, but I want to be a hard worker so that I know that it's going to get done, that God can trust me with it, that God's going to bless what I put my hand to, whether it be raising my children, whether it be my job, whether it be a good wife and not talking bad about my husband, but encouraging my husband, strengthening his strengths and helping him in the weaknesses and not uncovering him to my girlfriends. Girls, don't be jabbermouthing about your husband to your girlfriend. He's a blessing. You begin to speak life over that marriage. You begin to see the goodness of God in it. You begin to see the grace and the mercy of the Lord on his heart and in his life. And you be his biggest cheerleader. You see, Eve was taken from Adam's rib to be his helpmate. Be his helpmate. Be someone that can show him the love of Jesus Christ. He may not be showing you the love of Jesus Christ. You may live in a horrible home. But you begin speaking life. You begin praying and working hard at that. And then you watch God move in a way that only he can. Now, if you're in an abusive relationship and there's some other things going on, I am not talking to you. We need to talk privately. But if this is like a marriage where you're just, you know, I heard someone say once to me, we just weren't meant to be together, so we're getting divorced. Sorry, you made that commitment. That is now a covenant commitment between you and this man. And just because you just decided you weren't made for each other, they weren't fighting, they weren't like, you know, there was no adultery going on. There was nothing happening. They just didn't like each other anymore. Well, guess what? There are times I don't like Dan. There are times Dan does not like me. 2 days ago, he did not like me. And you know what I said to him? Go to bed. I hope tomorrow is a new Dan. It's life. You know, you get through it. You love each other through those seasons. The next morning I said, who is it that I'm with today? And he goes, oh, would you just knock it off? We kissed and hugged and made up. You know what I mean? So seriously, everyone does have their moments. Marriage, guess what, takes hard work. Our society today says, oh no, you have an opt-out. It's called divorce. No, there's no opt-out. Be careful who you marry, ladies. If you have a red flag before you get married, you should not get married. Can I just say that out loud? Like, hello, the red flags are waving, and everybody's like, oh, I'm just going to try it, and then I can just get out of it if I don't want it. Good Lord. You know, that's what happens. Marriage is something God created so that we can understand him and the church. Did you get that? That's why the marriage thing is so special, and it is created by God for a man and a woman, okay? A man and a woman. I don't care if you agree with me or not. The Word of God says the marriage is between a man and a woman. Now, the world will tell us otherwise, and whatever, let them go do whatever they're going to do. But I'm in kingdom business. I'm in God's kingdom, and I follow what the Word of God says, and I will not compromise what God says. Now, marriage is hard work. So when you say yes at the altar, you better be ready to do some hard work. Every season of life changes. You have to readjust your marriage again. Every part of your life changes. You have to figure out what works for you again. Listen, it's hard work being a wife. It's hard work being a mom. It's hard work being a volunteer at church because you don't have time to do it in your own busy schedule. But you need to make time to get into the house of God and serve with your hands and get your hands dirty for the kingdom of God because you will be blessed in it. You see, God is requiring more of us because we want more and we want greater capacity. And God says, all right, you ready to get your hands dirty? You ready to work hard? Aquila and Priscilla, they worked hard. Priscilla worked hard, day and night making tents, and then in the night going and preaching and telling people about Jesus. You see, she had a business to support her ministry. She didn't just get the luxury of doing ministry. She had to do it both, and God blessed both. God's going to bless what you put your hand to. When you work hard, he's going to see the value in what it is you put value in. You see, God loves your children. He loves your husbands. He loves your business. He loves your hearts. He loves your life. He loves every hair on your head. He loves every tattered piece of clothing that you know needs to be changed and go shopping. So he's going to get you good deals, girl. He's got your back. You see, hard work takes time. Hard work is a process. You may not always see your results right away. Aquila and Priscilla, they were just there, and they were faithful, and they were constant, and they were learning, and they were teaching, and they were loving, and they were welcoming, and they were trustworthy. You know what they were? They were in their spot. Girls, be in your spot. Your spot will not look like my spot. My spot is going to be different than your spot. What is in your world that God has handed you and said, this is important? And I need you to take care of it. Don't discredit what God has given you and what God has put in your hand and the spot that you're in. I love what Pastor Eleanor says. When you compare, somebody always gets smaller. And it's usually you. You see, you're awesome. You're amazing. God wants something for you. God has something for you. God has a purpose and a plan and a destiny for your kids, for your grandchildren, for the generations to come. And I believe that this world is a very dark place, but there's a very bright light ready to shine, ready to be exuberant for the kingdom of God, ready to show the world that there's an answer to all their brokenness, to all their confusion, to all their lost-hearted people. You see, all of you have been affected by sin, all of us, right? We needed a Savior to come and die on a cross for us so that our sin can be washed away. We don't have to live in guilt and shame any longer. If you're living in guilt and shame, stop. You say, how do I do it? You just stop. When it comes against you, when it attacks you, oh, I'm not good enough, or oh, I messed up again, you know what you do? All right, God, I messed up. Would you forgive me? And get right back on track and do what it is God needs you to do. You don't have to beat yourself up. The enemy wants you to beat yourself up and take you out. Don't isolate yourself. Don't put yourself in a box where God can't get in and minister to you and love on you in those moments. Then you stand back up, girlfriend. You get on your two feet. You start praying for your family. You start rebuking the devil off your life. And you see God move in a way that God moved for Priscilla. Priscilla was a woman of God. God chose her. He loved her. And it was a blessing. For the sake of time, I'm not going to do the other thing that I have, but I do want to do this. I want to tell you guys you're amazing. I want to tell you that you're beautiful. I want to tell you that every person in your world is in your world because they need you. You may not feel like they need you, but they do. And you're on assignment. I had a good friend, and you guys might know her. Her name is Sarita. Sarita used to run girlfriends with me, and we were just like the tag team, check it to wreck it, let's begin. I mean, we had each other's backs. She was my girl. And Sarita got married, and I was mad. She moved to Texas. She moved away from me. I was mad because I love Sarita. And Sarita loved her husband. She showed him the love of Jesus. And I'm telling you, that woman spoke about Jesus all the time. If you know Sarita, that woman loves God. And she led her husband to Christ. And then she helped him walk down a path of serving God. He ended up getting cancer, and he ended up dying just like a few weeks ago. And in Sarita's brokenness, the Lord spoke to me and said, tell her that she was on assignment and that she did good and that he's with me. You see, we're on assignment. Life may be hard, but you don't know if you're that person's way to Jesus. You don't know if the words that you speak and the assignment that you're on might be a hard road, but you will always find the peace of God. She contacted me. She said, oh man, I have Jesus and I'm good. I have God and my heart, yes, is broken. And I have my moments, but I know that God has my back. I know that he's covering everything. I know that he has everything I want. And then I offered her a job. And I said, you want to come back? She said, no. I guess she's going to college and she's just doing life for herself, and I'm so proud of her. I'm so happy for her. You see, God will have another assignment for Sarita. But what is your God assignment? We all have a God assignment. Priscilla had her God assignment and she fulfilled it. I'm walking in my God assignment, but what's your God assignment? Your God assignment might not be pulpit ministry, but it might be one-on-one ministry. Your assignment might be that the gifts and the talents that God has given you, that you need to use it for the kingdom of God, and you've been sitting on your hands going, Maybe you play an instrument. Maybe you sing. Maybe you think you sing, so just we have to auditions, okay? I'm kidding. God has a plan for us. God loves you, and I love you. And I know that God has an assignment for our lives. And so let's walk in our destinies today. Lord, we love you and we come before you. And Lord, we give our lives to you. Lord, every girl in this room is now saved. So God, I pray that every assignment that they have in their world, the people, the jobs, the heartaches, the joyful moments, Lord, we dedicate those to you today. Lord, I pray that they would be counted trustworthy with you, God. Lord, I pray that these girls, Lord, would be welcoming and a blessing to the people surrounding them, God. Give them moments and divine appointments, Lord, with people so they can show them the love of Christ. Lord, we ask, God, that they would be respected so that when they speak your name, that they would be heard. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would bless them. And Lord, that you would equip them to do what it is you've asked them to do, that when they put their hand to the plow and they have that hard work going on, that Lord, that you would give them a breather, you give them a break, you'd show them the result of their hard work, and Lord, that their work would be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Did you guys get something from God today? Awesome.